This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Yo, this is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive underway right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, back with you for another three-hour tour. And we get down to it. We get down to it this afternoon. Lots going on today. Construction is underway on the new club seating and on the west sideline of Neyland Stadium. Somebody just sent me a picture of that. Tearing up the stands, man.
Are they going to have one of those silly ass terraces? Is that what they're planning on doing? Where like the, you know, the upper crust can clank their jewelry together and drink martinis and watch football? Is that really? I'm going to have a problem with that.
Why? You don't know.
I mean, it's pretty much going to
be
that.
You're
not going to
see it. It's on the west sideline. Like, nobody's going to see it.
Just a principle.
It's already, I mean, those seats are already expensive. But they're going to be, I think, chair backs. And then there's going to be, the club area is going to be underneath that. So
Okay. You
can walk down in there in the air conditioning or the dry or whatever and have your beverage.
So answer me. I want to see if you know this. I mean, either one of you guys. Why don't they just do like chair backs for the entire stadium and join the 21st century?
Because they want to keep the seats the size of a brick and cram as many people in there as possible.
I mean, I get that.
It's I don't know, man. It's a good question. I've been on that bandwagon for a long time.
I mean, I
think they eventually will. I think that's the way all this stuff is headed. But
just speaking for older dudes and guys with bad backs, that's one of the big reasons that it you can't get comfortable. And then, like Jake said, they squeeze those seats down over the years. And, I mean, honestly, if you're sitting next to, you know, if you're
crammed in. Have they squeezed the seats down or have we expanded the asses out? I feel like I don't feel like they've done anything to make the seats smaller. I think the asses are getting bigger. I think that's the bigger problem.
As a rule of thumb, the drive usually doesn't fat shame on the drive here. But since it's been brought up here in the A block, yeah, I mean, when you're stuck between two three-seaters, you know. And the one on the left might not have the best personal hygiene. It's just kind of not a good experience.
Man, I had that experience earlier in the year.
So that's going on. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma, lots of rumors spreading around on the message boards and everything. Will there be some sort of announcement today? I don't know. We'll see. Brent Venables continues to be the name you hear most often there. Late last night, Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning emerged as a name we are hearing in connection with that job. And they had, according to OU Insider, a mystery name. Which we need to add the mystery candidate to the list of coaching search.
That's pure gold.
That's good. The mystery candidate has been revealed today at Oklahoma.
Who was it?
The Oklahoma mystery candidate is Carolina Panthers head coach Matt Rhule. How about that?
Did you realize, while we're on the subject of Oklahoma, I don't know if it's on the message boards or what, some of their fans want the assistant coaches arrested for recruiting.
They're
doing some dirty,
impressive.
Dirty. Yeah, I mean, it's beyond Lane Kiffin.
It's an impressive meltdown.
So Lane Kiffin and Ed Orgeron are flabbergasted and shocked at what Lincoln Riley and those guys are doing.
Yeah, so those are the names we're hearing this afternoon with Oklahoma. If those are your choice, I mean, Matt Rhule would be, that'd be a home run, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty strong.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're still, I mean, you're still entering the SEC West sometime, who knows, in the next 1 to 3 years. And well, it's just like, welcome to, you know.
Nothing can be done about that. What, who, out of those three, who would you want?
Matt Rhule, Venables, and who is the third one?
Dan Lanning. Dan the Man Lanning.
Probably go Matt Rhule.
Dan Manland.
Is he bringing Brady with him?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, he might. Maybe.
Why would you want to? I wouldn't want to leave. I don't know.
But surely.
In my mind, you wouldn't want to leave an NFL job.
Matt Rhule didn't have Joe Brady when he was at Baylor and he put up prolific offenses. And isn't he a defense guy? Isn't Matt Rhule? I don't know. I have to go back and check on that. But surely, with all his connections from coaching at several college stops and then in the NFL.
Where did he start? Was he the guy at Temple?
Yeah. Surely he can find a competent offensive coordinator. I would be pretty excited about that if I were an OU fan. So that's what's going on in the coaching search world. Did you see the Brian Kelly video that leaked out?
Yeah. He's a punk and a clown.
It's bad? See, I hear people saying it's bad. It's weird, man. On one hand, like, what is his responsibility? They say, well, a man goes and, like, delivers it. You don't just leave. You want to talk to your players. And
still, he's a punk and a clown.
I guess he did that. I mean, but I did also, after watching it, my takeaway was, okay, like, was that really necessary? Like, did it change anything?
I mean,
he just gets to go and say now in interviews, I did it the right way. I went up there and talked to my players.
No. No, you didn't, Kelly.
Stood there for what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes?
Your team is on the edge, depending on what happens this weekend. You could easily be in the playoffs, and you left them high and dry. And one of the people with the College Football Playoff Committee said that it will factor in the fact that they don't have their head coach is the reason Oklahoma State, they put Oklahoma State in front of them.
Is that Brian Kelly's problem?
Hell yes, it is. He made a damn commitment to those guys.
Okay. Now, it's funny because I must point the finger of hypocrisy.
At me?
Yes.
Why?
Because you said the exact opposite when Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, and he said, well, it's the right thing to do to go finish the season at Alabama. You and many others of your ilk said, we hired him. He's working for us now. He needs to come to Knoxville.
Totally different situation. Jeremy Pruitt, Gump, was not the head coach. Alabama, it did not affect whether or not they got into the college football playoff. Huge difference.
Well,
huge.
I don't know. I mean, would you? Okay, so if he had been the head coach, you would have been perfectly fine with him staying at Alabama and coaching through the playoffs because it's the right thing to do and he owed it to those kids.
I don't know. You're not going to paint me into the corner. You know what? I shimmied, I shaked, and I jumped out.
You're already boxed in.
Dude, you can't box me in that easily.
I'm just asking. Let's be consistent here. What's the right thing to do? What's the right way for Brian Kelly to handle this? And if the right way to handle it is to stay, then let's stop pretending that we were mad at Jeremy Pruitt for staying at Alabama during their playoff run.
It's apples and oranges. One's a coordinator.
Okay, what's the right thing to do?
You can't. It's apples and oranges. You can't compare the two.
Sure you can.
No, you can't unless you're just wanting to try and box me in.
It's sports radio.
Why are you trying to get me mad in the
box? I got to go with Bear on this one.
So if it's a coordinator, you leave. But if you're a head coach, you stay.
Dude, he screwed his team. He screwed his team so bad. They're probably if the chips fall and it's either them or Oklahoma State that's going to get in, they're going to put Oklahoma State in with Mullet Boy.
All right, let's stop pretending like we care about Notre Dame's players and Oklahoma State and all this. I'm just asking the question, what's the correct way to handle a messy situation? And I don't know.
These guys are all scumbags.
I don't have a firm answer. I mean, if I'm LSU, I don't want to watch the guy that I just hired as a head coach not giving 110% focus and concentration to the job we just hired him at $10 million a year to do.
It's not so much that. It's the fact that he pretty much walked in instead of giving a heartfelt, I'm sorry I did this, but I'm gone.
He's not sorry, Jakey.
No, he's not sorry at all.
What's he supposed to do? Does he cry a little for him? I didn't want to.
No, you meet with each of your players.
You meet with each of your players?
Yeah, you.
How about if you're on the cusp? Of making the college football playoffs with your team, you stick with. He's a freaking Notre Dame dude. All right, welcome to the SEC, idiot. Hope you enjoy it. You're gonna be Nick Saban's doormat.
We're gonna beat him next year.
I hope so, man. I think we should. Of course, we don't know what their roster is going to look like, what Tennessee's roster is going to look like. But that's going to be
Oklahoma's roster.
A huge game after Florida and a bye week, going down there to Baton Rouge to take on LSU on the road. All right, basketball Vols roll last night at Thompson Bowling. We'll recap that one for you. Open up the phone lines here. You want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. 546-8200. Back with more right after this. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. All right, let's start on the football side of things where recruiting is in full swing. Jordan Thomas, we've been talking about him, the defensive back from Catholic Prep in somewhere Alabama. I can never remember.
Had that really long name.
He has decommitted today from Mississippi State ahead of his weekend visit to Knoxville. And you'll remember Ryan Callahan put in the crystal ball to Tennessee. So we can go ahead and I'm penciling him into the commitment category there, which is big news. And then also on 247 this afternoon, a couple of Tennessee guys getting that coveted fourth star. Running back Dylan Sampson, linebacker Joshua Josephs receiving their fourth star, and Caleb Webb, the receiver commitment to East Carolina, who's visiting this weekend, who got a crystal ball to Tennessee yesterday, also getting his fourth star. So we basically added 3-4 stars today. That's the way I'm looking at it anyway.
I am as well, Russell.
Let's see what that does to the
you know what our rules
rankings.
Are.
Yes. I think Joseph's is now a 4-star on both sides.
Yes. So. It is Joseph's, by the way, not Joseph.
Yeah.
Right.
Tennessee basketball last night at the Arena. Vols put the hammer to the Blue Hose. 86-44 Presbyterian gets smashed at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Kennedy Chandler and Justin Powell leading the way for the Volunteers with 15 points each.
But Justin Powell going off. Is he 5-for-5? Woo.
5-for-5 from three-point range.
Need that. Daddy likey.
Yeah, it's Presbyterian. Tennessee will be challenged up next Saturday at Colorado. Oof. In Boulder. Colorado was a team that had some preseason love. They were in some of the top 25s around the country. I don't think they're ranked right now. And then next week, the Jimmy V Classic in New York City taking on a Texas Tech team that is currently in the top 10, I believe, maybe number 11 in the KenPom rating. So that'll be a really tough game. All right, there you have it. The Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, committed to delivering the highest quality real estate services possible. Bo and his team want to make sure their customer service surpasses all expectations. Their organized and effective marketing plan is going to get your home seen by as many potential buyers as possible and is going to get your home sold for as much money as possible. Their in-depth knowledge of the local real estate market is unparalleled here in East Tennessee. So call Bo Kregner today for a free consultation at 865-742-1035. 742-1035. He's online at boknowshouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Our number.
Apparently, I just saw some, I guess you, I don't know if classified as breaking. Feldman came out and said Matt Rhule is not taking the Oklahoma job. Mm.
Sorry, OU fans. They went from the dun-dun-dun to wah-wah-wah.
I mean, don't you feel like if Feldman's putting it out there, that's probably pretty solid.
I think Venables is a strong candidate there, man. That, you know,
he's an alum, played there,
coached there, has experience at with multiple national championship teams. Going to establish a strong staff there. I mean, that's probably what I would do if I were
pretty
them.
Stout hire.
I understand, like, it's not super sexy. It's not stealing a guy from somewhere.
Right, but we've talked about that. Like, I can't remember which caller it was, but, I mean, do you want to move the needle and win the press conference, or you want to make the best hire that'll set you up to be successful? Mm-hmm. Huge difference between those two.
Yeah, I think you – who's going to win games and do it in a way that's not going to cause extreme embarrassment?
Yeah, like they're going through
unless you care about – that kind of thing. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the drive this afternoon. Let's go right to the phones.
Hitting bad
Jamie
off.
Is up first today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Jamie.
What's up, boys?
What up?
Real quick, Russ, they have anybody who sits in the bleachers over at Neyland Stadium, you can see where the old stickers – the seat numbers used to be, and they have crunched in more numbers per row to get as many, as like Jake said, to get as many people in there as possible. So,
I'm not silly because they don't sell it out anymore. I feel like they'd be better off providing a nice, comfortable seat with a cup holder and all that stuff.
Me too.
And selling 90,000 tickets for every game, as opposed to 70,000 tickets for four games, 50,000 tickets for two, and then 100,000 for two. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just so you will concede that there are some if Tennessee's doing well or if the big time guys are in town, we can sell out to 100K. But at the end of the day, the best thing to do is the chair backs with the armrest and maybe even a cup holder way to go.
I feel like that creates a better atmosphere too. I mean, you go to any NFL stadium now and there are no more bleachers, right? It's all chair backs and the environment is always rowdy at Nissan Stadium for a Titans game and everybody's got their own chair there. And so I think that's the way to go.
I'm with you. I'm all about the seat backs and the armrest. I'm with Bear. Let's leave the terraces for something else. We've got enough room in the luxury boxes. I was fortunate enough to get up there a few years back, and what a sterile atmosphere for a football game, guys. It's kind of like the football game is secondary to what's going on. There's more people wandering around in the hallways of those luxury boxes that are actually sitting in the seats watching the game. So we don't need more of that. We got a good atmosphere. Let's hang on to it. But guys, about the coaching searches, yeah, it's you know, it's my favorite time of the year. I guess Heupel's safe. Well, pretty much off the list there at Oklahoma.
It seems that way.
Yeah. These guys, I think Lincoln Riley headed towards the West Coast because he's afraid. He knows that if he gets in the Southeastern Conference, he'll eat him alive. One thing about Oklahoma, though, I wonder if that fan base is happy with hiring a defensive-minded coach as dynamic as they've been on offense through the last two coaches. Why? I'm wondering what their reaction to a defensive-oriented coach is going to be.
Yeah. It'll probably come down to the coordinator. And for a defensive coach, it's hard, right? Because you've got to be committed to a system, because some of those guys are going to think, well, okay, you might hire insert flashy OC name here, but if he does really well at Oklahoma, he's going to get a head coaching job the next year. So yeah, if you're Venables or any defensive coach this day and age, you've got to be able to convince your offensive recruits that, hey, no matter what happens, this is the way we're going to play, right? We're not going to be high tempo, throw it all over the place 1 year, and then ground and pound the next year. We're going to have a consistent approach offensively, and that's got to be challenging for those guys.
You know, I've been out of the loop, guys. I've been working a couple different jobs here, you know, trying to get ready for Christmas. I guess Cutcliffe, has he retired, or what's the deal with Banks interviewing for Duke? Did I miss something, or is he looking?
His name has been connected to the Duke head coaching job, yes.
So Cutcliffe just retired, I'm guessing.
Correct.
It was mutual.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a
time.
We've reached an agreement together to go our separate ways. No hard feeling kind of thing.
Yeah, his offense has kind of slipped off the where, you know, the pace he had it on. I was kind of shocked. He had something good going there a few years, and then the Daniel Jones years. So, if we were to lose Tim Banks, I wonder what direction or what kind of pull Heupel would have.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think Banks would be a loss. We talked about this yesterday, just from a continuity standpoint, a program that's had so much turnover. You want some stability. You want we don't know if Tim Banks is a defensive mastermind or not. I think he did a pretty all right job this year. But you just don't want change, man. You don't want another coordinator going into year two when you have a chance to win some games and take a big step. So I kind of wonder if they wouldn't consider a hire from within, whether it's Willie Martinez or Brian Jean Mary, just trying to keep the system the same and moving forward.
Brian Jean Mary.
I mean, it's or if do you bring in somebody else from the outside? I just think that the stability angle of it is key.
Well, I'll tell you what, Russ, I'll disagree a little bit with you there. You know who I want as defensive coordinator is whoever can attract NFL players. I think that's how, you know, and I think the defenses you see that are good every year are the ones that have the most NFL players on them, you know. So that's all I care about is you know, we need to start hitting those kind of people again. And on the way out, that's what I really wanted to call back today is, you know, I really thought Heupel would turn some heads at some quarterbacks with the way, you know, receivers, skill position players. I really thought he'd be able to turn the heads of some of the more upper echelon players to play those positions, given what we were able to do this year with the quarterback and the way we utilize receivers and open lanes for running backs, because you're not going to get to you're not going to win the East without some of those players. And with Hooker, if he comes back, which I'm 99% sure the guy's coming back, you know, let's say he does, next year is his last year, and you really need to have a quarterback on campus ready to take his place rather than a first-year guy to take over after Hooker. Do you?
I mean, Hooker wasn't on campus last year, and he did just fine.
Well, I mean, if we hit the portal for a quarterback, but I think the portal's full of a lot. I mean, there's some, but there's a lot of guys that just wash out of programs that, you know.
Well, I think, I mean, he's been here less than a year. It's not signing day yet. He's got a commitment from four-star quarterback Taven Jackson, who committed without even seeing us play any games this year. If Hooker left, I think you'd be able to bring in a competent quarterback. He showed an ability to coach him up. You had the Ima Liava kid in from California a couple of weeks ago. I understand Joey Halsley was in L.A. seeing him yesterday. I mean, he's a five-star guy. I would like I don't know what you wanted right out of the gate year one, but I kind of think they're doing pretty well myself.
Okay, well, I'll admit I'm not too I haven't followed recruiting as much as I used to, so I'll just, you know, I'll acquiesce, as they say. So, but like I said, I mean, I just wanted to hear, you know, I listen to the show. Even if I have to listen to it on podcast, I was just dying to hear somebody say something like, you know, given the year we've had, there's some guys that weren't even on our board that are starting to take a look at Tennessee. I really would like to see those kind of players start coming back here and make us what we, you know.
I mean, Jamie, you might with, you know, the Jameer. Have you been following the Jameer Gibbs kid that's hit the portal from Georgia Tech?
No. What did he play?
He's a stud bell cow running back that we recruited at one time.
Yeah, I think you're more likely to see those type of guys in the the transfer portal guys. It's hard. You know, these high school kids are many times been committed to somebody since before Heupel got there. They've been talking to the assistant coaches and the head coach for, you know, sometimes years, and that's hard to overcome. But the guys who hop in the portal looking for a quick fix, hey, I'm not looking to develop anywhere for 3 or 4 years. I want somewhere where I can play and succeed immediately. I think Tennessee probably stands to be more successful with those kids this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Guys, thanks for the time. It's been I catch a lot of the podcasts. Sorry, I haven't been able to listen live and get in there. But where did Caden Salter end up? And I'll take that off the air. Y'all hang in there.
He is currently enrolled at Liberty.
That's right.
I was talking to somebody the other day.
Playing for the right reverend.
A former player that had talked to, I think it was Golish and Heupel was there. This was last year before he got busted out of school, and they absolutely were thrilled about having him. And then he screwed up.
Caden Salter? Yeah. We'll see. I'm not worried about the quarterback situation. I'm actually kind of excited to see how it unfolds here over the course of next year. I mean, remember the conversations a year ago were what? We got Bailey, Milton and Hooker weren't even on the scene.
No.
Yet. We didn't even know who they were. It was Bailey, Maurer, and
– Shroud had already left, hadn't he?
Or intended to leave. Yeah. So we just didn't know and – now it's completely different. Who's to say what it'll look like this time a year from now?
Well, we knew about Caden Salter at the time.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of the future.
Bless you.
Sorry, guys.
You all right, buddy?
I can't choke him off anymore. I'm under order.
Shut up. Fan run out of context. We got to take a quick time out. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Basketball fans celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. We love FanDuel. The app is easy to use. It's safe. It's easy to register, easy to deposit money, easy to find your bet. And they now accept Venmo as well. The withdrawals are always fast. The odds boosts and specials that you see on there every single day make it extra fun. And live betting. If you are watching one of these NBA games and you want to make different bets as the game progresses, that's just a whole nother layer of entertainment on FanDuel. If you're already a user, FanDuel hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend's going to get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link, which can be easily found when you tap the refer icon. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code DRIVE1 to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Did you happen to see the D. Beckwith tweet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Number one.
Let's read into what a 20-year-old might be meaning.
Coach Heupel is rocking some old-school-looking Jordans. Mm-hmm. And he's got him a full plate, it looks like. He's a hoss. And then D. Beckwith, like, quote tweeted this, said, "I love my coach," with the crying laughing emojis.
Well, you know what, first of all, as far as the food goes, like, that's part of the game, is you go – Fulmer used to talk about this, how – you get on these planes this time of year, right after the season, and you go and you visit all your commitments for your in-home visit.
Right.
And the guys you want, you get one in-home visit.
Right.
And the way it works is you put on your coat, you know, your jacket, your nice jacket, your blazer or whatever. You go, you show up, you got the head coach, position coach, maybe the coordinator, maybe a couple of others. And you go to the recruit's house, and his family's there, and his mom has fixed dinner. And you have to eat it with a big smile on your face. Oh, is this?
What if she's a bad cook?
You have to eat it.
By golly.
With a big smile on your face and tell her, thank you. May I have some more?
I think it was either Riggs or Aaron Hayden last night on Twitter. We're tweeting about Brian Kelly when he's recruiting Louisiana and eating. Like,
I hope you like hot sauce.
Yeah.
So, I could see Heupel handling that. Well, I can't. Can you imagine Dooley? What is that? I'm sorry, I already ate.
No, Heupel will probably jump in there like a trencherman and just chow down.
Yeah, I could see him doing well at that thing.
Fulmer did well at that.
Fulmer's quote was, sometimes you go and you load up and you hit the road and you go do it again. Two or three meals in one night.
Oh, God. I didn't think about that part of it.
Yep.
So if someone cooks you a well-done steak, what are you doing?
Putting ketchup on it and eating it.
What if they don't have any ketchup?
They're
just really proud of their well-done steak.
Ketchup is disgusting, first of all. Second of all, why would you put it on a steak?
If it's well done, you got to do something to make that leather taste good.
I mean,
I won't eat a well done steak.
I won't either. I mean, you might as well just give me a bun and a slice of cheese.
But if I'm going to eat it, I'm putting Worcestershire on it or steak sauce or ketchup.
If you're at a 5-star house and his mama's sitting there and they've made you this steak,
burn-ass steak,
you're going to eat it with a smile on your face.
You're getting paid $5 million a year. Bell cow running back, hell yeah, I'll eat it.
You're going to eat it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be grateful.
And I'll hug her on the way out the door and thank her gratefully for the meal and tell her how I'm going to mold her son into an upstanding citizen. I think I'd be good on the recruiting trail. I really do.
Yeah, you'd be all good until you sit down there and they bring you out a piece of key lime pie, or it's Thanksgiving dinner that they fixed for you, or
there was a Pearl Jam poster
on the wall.
There was a post-Thanksgiving incident with my best friend about the whole no turkey thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Me, Jake, you and I have got a 5-star on the hook. We're going in to close the deal. It's dinner at the prospect's house.
You've taken me.
Are we bringing Bear?
Oh, I'd look fantastic. I'd be dressed to the nines.
Let the young man answer, please.
So you and I, we're going to be dressed similar to what we are right now.
Yeah.
No, we're going to.
No, y'all are going to be in suits.
We're going to be.
I look like a football coach. Just.
Yeah, we're going to be prepared.
No, you're
Bear's going to be dressed the way he is right now.
I'd have my jacket on.
We're leaving him in the car.
My parka.
You heard the story about Pruitt recruiting the kid in Louisiana?
Yeah.
Who his mother showed up looking all frumpy.
And his mother asked an assistant coach who he was.
Pruitt? No, that's Pruitt?
Yeah.
The assistant coaches had spent months recruiting this guy, building up.
Just working their asses
Jeremy
off.
Pruitt is the best defensive coordinator, the best defensive mind, the best defensive backs coach. You're going to love this kid. You're going to love this coach, man. He's going to be awesome. They're building him up to the kid, building him up to the prospect's mom and everything. They get down there for the visit. Pruitt shows up. His pants are like too long. They're all bunched up around the ankles. He's walking on the back of them.
Probably hemmed up with a stapler.
He's got a coach's pullover on that's like too big. He's looking frumpy. He's like half asleep during the presentation. And the prospect's mom pulls the position coach out, and they go into the kitchen. And she says, Coach, that's Pruitt? And he's like, yeah. Sits there, pregnant pause. She goes, that's Pruitt. He's like, yeah.
His assistant coach is like decked out, right? Like,
that's Pruitt. She said it like 4 times. And he's like, yeah, I probably like, yeah, that guy went to Alabama.
Oh, God.
That kid went to Alabama. That's who Philip Fulmer entrusted with the future of Tennessee football.
We're working like heck.
Why? Why does he get to parade around in the best seats in the arena, eating his stuffing popcorn down his pie hole, parading around on the damn sidelines after he detonated our football program twice for the second time.
What's the over-under on how many boxes of popcorn he eats during a game?
Oh, dear.
Oh, good Lord.
We had a guy that ran he ran the clock for the Campbell County basketball games, and after every quarter, you'd see him get up, go to the concession stand, and come back with a bag of popcorn, and he'd go twice at halftime.
Wow.
He'd just sit there and continuously eat popcorn. Mm,
popcorn's good.
It's not good for the stomach.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. 546-8200 if you want to jump in. Let's get Trey in here next. Good afternoon, Trey.
There you go.
What's up?
It's just bizarre to me, you know, seeing Palmer sitting there looking like a, you know, prize hog on the sideline of the basketball court. Like, does nobody say anything to him? Like, is that, I mean, does he not?
They're all intimidated. Nobody wants to do what needs to be done. This is, leadership, right? I mean, it's how we got here, is a lack of leadership. And at a competently run university, somebody would have pulled him aside by now. And you don't have to be mean about it. It's not like you're not welcome here. But you explain tactfully that, hey, you know, we need to give it some time. We need some separation. We would appreciate it if you would just lay low for at least a year or so.
I mean, he still goes over the football complex like nothing ever happened, right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's totally
crazy.
Insane.
Only at Tennessee.
I mean, only Fulmer.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine Jeremy Pruitt walking around? I mean, it's insane to think about. Well, there's the dude that hired
him. Jeremy Pruitt was walking around Tennessee. Yeah, I got a pretty good sized rock with his name written on it, and I'm slinging that bald ass head of his. Sorry.
Guys, the real reason I called though is I was just thinking about the whole Heupel thing, and I think like a week ago I said, you know, I don't want to see Tennessee overreact and, you know, overextend or overpay him based on this, you know, what's going on right now in the coaching market. But the more I think about it, that cost of the money that you spend on Heupel right now isn't necessarily equal to his worth. It's how much do you pay to stay out of this chaos right now and pay for stability in your program. It's not about how much is Josh Heupel as a coach worth. It's about how much is it worth to not have to find a coach right now. I think that's the real value and the real question you should be asking. And I'll get your guys' thoughts and hang up and listen.
No, I mean, I think he nailed it. Like, I don't – has Josh Heupel earned a raise? Has he earned a contract extension? No, not in our world, not in my world, not in your world where we're working stiffs out there. But in that world, it's a different world, man. The rules of normal economics do not apply. And so you're thinking about all sorts of other ridiculous things like, well – if we don't pay him now, if we don't show some appreciation, what happens if he blows up and goes 10-2 next year and then so-and-so comes, the Florida State job opens up, and they come to Josh Heupel and say, hey, that university, they don't even appreciate you. All that hard work you did last year, they didn't even roll you over. They didn't even tack on a year to your deal. They didn't even give you $200,000 or $300,000 a year pay bump. Nothing. Come here. We'll give you this big contract. And that's how these guys think. It's like, oh, man, I got to keep him happy. I got to keep him happy. And he hasn't even done anything yet. And I love Josh Heupel, man. And I get it. That's probably what they're going to do is roll him over and give him a little extra raise and all that stuff. But that's how you get Brian Kelly making over $10 million a year with incentives at LSU, or Lincoln Riley making over $10 million a year at USC.
What is it, $500,000 if he makes a bowl game at LSU? Is that what I read?
Yeah. The market is what people are willing to pay. And right now, there's no shortage of funding. They don't have to pay the players anything, so you got to spend it on something. We'll spend it on the coaches, and that's what they're doing. It's kind of obscene. All right, stay with us. The drive continues, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the G3 Help Me Hotline, back with more right after this.
Yeah. We're not, no.
You
utilities, man. They're expensive these days.
They are when you got teenagers.
Hallsdale Pell Water.
Where is Watford?
Somewhere in England.
Huh.
Somewhere in England.
Watford. Chelsea.
I don't want to charge anybody on their account for something.
Here, I'll do it.
Back here on the show, it is Fan Run Radio. It is a Wednesday afternoon edition. We're going to run down our friend Bill Bender of the Sporting News in hour number two and get his take on this college football coaching search madness that continues today with Brian Kelly getting settled in. Of course, the playoff rankings are out. Georgia continues to be number one, Michigan number two, Bama third, and then Cincinnati fourth. You think all those teams win and it's chalk? Or
who's
Oklahoma
State?
Well, they can all win, but
I'd be willing to bet Michigan or Oklahoma State. One, I figure odds on are one of those are going to win. I think we're going to know early on in that SEC championship game if just watch the refs.
See, the Big 12 doesn't have a championship game anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they Oklahoma do. State's playing
Oklahoma. Or Baylor.
Baylor. They could easily lose that game. That Baylor team.
Sure.
I mean, you never know. I mean, but if Baylor comes out and they're ready to play, they're one of the better teams.
So if Alabama gets beat, Oklahoma State gets beat.
I mean, I think you have to put Notre Dame in. It's weird.
It's just so bizarre right now.
So
it's so unfair to the kids at Notre Dame. It really is. I don't really care about Notre Dame, Russ. But you got to admit, that's going to be that's a
so.
Tough
what do you do? You just disregard it? And
yeah, I mean, if those teams lose, you put them in and you let the what's the guy's name? The players want him to be named head coach. It's a defensive coordinator,
Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. And he's an out from all appearances. I don't know a whole lot about him, but he appears to be an outstanding candidate.
So your seventh ranked team right now, behind Notre Dame, is Ohio State and then Ole Miss.
And those both have two losses.
Yes.
Yeah. And you think there's any way they would try and pull some kind of like bear like gymnastics and keep Alabama in there, like twist it around
if they lost?
Yeah,
of course.
I guess if, like, Michigan, Oklahoma State
lost.
Yeah,
I mean, all those teams would have to lose.
Cincinnati.
Maybe it's possible.
I mean, something like this has happened before.
But you get into this
strong reaction about Notre Dame here.
You get into this conversation about is it the best team or the most deserving team or all that. I mean, I think we all know, like, the best teams, regardless of record, if you're just thinking the best programs, the most talented teams, it's probably Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State.
I would say I think Michigan. I mean, Michigan lined up, and we say it all the time, but, like, Harbaugh bent them over a barrel.
Well, they might get their opportunity. I mean, I think it would be interesting to see if you had the 2-3 matchup, this which you're not going to have, obviously, but Bama versus Michigan would be a fun game to watch because I do think that Michigan could move the ball on them and score some points.
I think Michigan would also – could you imagine that kid from Michigan who got after it, Stroud from Ohio State? I mean, I could see that front seven of Michigan on defense is pretty tough, man. And that Alabama offensive line's suspect.
By how the conversation has turned surrounding Jim Harbaugh is
– old milk-drinking weirdo.
He's no longer the big joke that he was coming into the season. Unless he loses to Iowa, then he goes right back to big joke and maybe even a bigger joke than he was before.
He could definitely lose to Iowa.
He'll always be a joke.
Would that not be the most Kirk Ferentz thing ever?
How will he always be a joke?
He wears Dickies.
You know, I'm kind of changing my tune on him. You saw where he gave all the bonuses he earned this year. He gave back to the employees, I think, in the athletic department whose salaries were reduced from COVID to make up their money. And it was – I mean, it's seven figures worth of cash. It's what him and his wife, I can't remember her name, Sandra or Sarah – gave back. to the employees. I kind of liking Jim Harbaugh again, just in all his weirdness. What about him suiting up? Remember when he had Peyton out there to the 49ers? When Peyton was doing his tour?
Oh, yeah.
And he suited up, wanted to – do you not – you forget this?
Riding routes with him or something?
Well, he's, yeah, Harbaugh, 50-year-old man, or how old – you know, he's in his late 40s probably then, or 50. He comes out there in, like, full uniform.
Well, it's easy for younger folks to forget, but, I mean, you remember, Harbaugh was a tough SOB as a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He was not the most physically gifted dude, but –
I mean, he gets smashed and he get up pissed.
Yeah, he was a gamer, man.
He's always been a fiery dude, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's been a good coach, man. He's had this block against Ohio State where he couldn't get over the hump, and now he has. And I'm with you, man. There's a small part of me that's kind of pulling for him. It's like, yeah, come on, Jimbo.
He's just so weird that he's kind of fun to cover, isn't he?
When that Big Ten championship, getting that playoff, and
how obnoxious would he be if he goes on a tear and wins like 8 in a row over Ohio State? I mean, how many coaches would get fired?
Yeah. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, hour number 2 coming up.